Can we say praise the Lord? We bless the Lord for all of his goodness. We bless God for all of his kindness. We just bless God that God is God alone. And God doesn't need our help for anything. He's God all by himself. And we say thank you, Jesus. Amen. We just thank God in these troublous times. The Bible refers to the last days as troublous times, a time of Jacob's trouble. We have a Savior more precious to us than all the worst friendships ever could be. Thank God for the Savior. Can we say praise the Lord? We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. Amen. There's many things that I probably could say, but because of the time element that's working against us at this time, we're going to get right to the Word of God. So we're going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 18 and the whole Luke chapter 11 and Acts chapter 12. Can I get a praise of the Lord?
Praise
the Lord. Amen. Bible says, let everything that has breath,
praise the Lord.
Let everything that has breath,
praise the Lord.
If you got breath today, no matter what you're going through, you still are supposed to
praise the Lord.
Amen. So our scripture reading will be coming from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Amen. You all have it? And for those that do not have it, it's where? On the screen. Let us read. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And let's just read in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verse 1. We'll just read verse 1, and then we'll go into it a little further. Luke chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1 reads, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his. Lord, we thank you for service on today. Lord, we thank you for being a mighty good God. Lord, we thank you for being a God that looks beyond every fault that we have and you see our needs. Lord, we thank you in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus for being our Savior. Now on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to continue to bless and keep. Remember the shut-in, the sick, and the afflicted, O God. Even now, Lord, we ask you to remember those who may be wayward in mind. Lord, those that may be wayward in heart. Those that the adversary has desired to have the sin like we ask you to remember them. And send the word of anointing. Send the word to heal. Send the word to deliver. And send the word to set free. And we thank you in advance for what we know you're going to do. Can the church say in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Truly, we do bless the Lord today. Amen. Luke chapter 11, Jesus, after he finished praying, the disciples noticed something about Jesus' prayer life. Amen. And then they asked him, said, Lord, teach us to pray. Anybody need to go to prayer university? Anybody need to go to prayer university? In prayer university, they teach you to pray. Amen. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. And we know he went in verse 2 and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Anybody know when you use the term Father, that's a term spiritually of endearment. That means the Lord has his eyes on you. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven. Lord, just let your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said, which of you? Now he's teaching them about prayer. Amen. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. So he's teaching them how to pray. Amen. He said, which of you have a friend, shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now he's teaching a principle about prayer. Amen. He's teaching them how to pray, but then there's some principles in prayer as we go on to prayer university. Amen. He said, a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. When did he go at what? Midnight. That's an inconvenient time, right? If you don't believe it's inconvenient, let somebody come to your door at midnight. Right? Let them come to your door at midnight for 3 loaves of bread. Now, we know what I'm talking about. Not the bread we know, but that's like small little biscuit loaves, okay? It's midnight, and I have someone that's come from a long journey. And I just need 3 loaves. Amen. What would you do at midnight? In your mind, you say, you had all day. All day long. But here you come to me at. He's teaching in principle. Don't make it different what time of the day it is. When you got a need, you can come to the Father. Friend, he said, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in this journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Now he's teaching them about prayer, right? And now he has nothing. That's the time you need to pray, when you don't have anything. I love them going through prayer at university. And I'm learning when to pray. Amen? He said, I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Now, back in this time, everyone slept in one big room. So in order for him to get up and give to his friend, he would have to disturb the whole house. So he said, wait a minute. I can't give it to you, because in order for me to give you this, I got to disturb all the rest of my family. Amen. He said, so I cannot do it. Now I got to take shortcuts, because we don't have a lot of time for me to get to everything. Amen. So in your spare time, you can read a little bit more than yourself. He said, I say, though he will not rise and give him because of his friendship. He said, even though you're my friend, he said, he might not give it to you because he's a friend. He said, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he. Well, importunity is a persistent act, asking. So you might not have nothing. Amen. You may have gone to people that could not help. But don't you stop asking. Don't stop asking. Amen. And then I'll make reference to this a little more. But let's go back to Luke chapter 18. Amen. Luke chapter 18. So, and we use verse 1. This is where we're going to get our message from for this afternoon. And we won't be very long. Amen. Verse 1 reads, and he spake a parable unto them unto this. The Lord said, this is necessary for me to teach you this. Where we at? We're in prayer university. Amen. Learning when to pray, how to pray. He said that men ought always and not to faint. Amen. So our message on this afternoon is, don't give up on your prayer. Don't give up on your prayer. You know, something about prayer, a lot of times we pray and we don't get the answer right away. We get some kind of disheartened and we think God has forgotten us. But don't give up on your prayer. Yeah, I know growing up down south, I don't know if it's a true story or one of those convenient stories. Amen. But there was a story of a woman that went to church. And when she went to church, the preacher said, if you have faith as a grain of a size of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And he said, and it shall be done. The woman was an old mother in the church, and she believed the word of God. So she went home and told her son, she said, you know what? Every day I have to get up so many minutes, an hour earlier, to go to church, and I have to keep going around this mountain. She said, you know what I'm going to pray? She said, I'm going to pray that the Lord move this mountain. And the son said, well, what makes you think God's going to move this mountain for you? She said, well, the preacher said in church that you can speak to the mountain and God will move it if you have faith in your heart as a grain of a mustard seed and doubt not. And the son said, Mom, come on. Now, you know, the preacher wasn't talking about a literal mountain. He was talking about one of those symbolic mountains. You know, he said, Mom, don't go over the deep end. And the lady prayed every day. Lord, the preacher said. Ah, yes, Lord. The preacher said, if I speak to this mountain, you'll move the mountain. Amen. It didn't happen right away. But she kept praying the same prayer. And then a little while later, I don't know how much longer, so I ain't going to make it up, but a little while later, they had all this excavation equipment and all this stuff out in front of the house, and they heard all this clamor and all this noise, and it wasn't right away, but look at somebody say, a little while later. It was a little while later, but she did not stop praying for God to move that literal mountain out of her way. Lord, thank you. And the son went out. He's like, what are you going to do with all this equipment? You got excavators, you got bulldozers, you got trucks, you got stuff all over the place. Now, Edna probably can identify this, but most of y'all can't identify with this because y'all ain't from the country. Y'all don't know what it's like to be in the country. And there's a house here, and then you have to go all the way down the block to find another house. Amen? So I grew up in part of the country. In Atlanta, before they made it so suburban and made it like it is, you had to walk a long ways to get a neighbor. So when something happened outside, you knew something was not normal because there was no neighbors. The son went out and said, sir, can I ask you, what are y'all doing with all this equipment? Is there something going on? Is something happened that we don't know about? The guy said, no, son, we're about to move this mountain. We're about to move this mountain. So the son went back in. You know the son got saved, right? You know the son got saved. He went back in and said, Mama, can we say Mama? We from down south. So y'all can be mother up here. We're going to go to Mama. That's how we see it. We just said Mama. She said, Mama, is a man outside? And he said they're about to move the mountain. She said, I told you what the preacher said, that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed and not doubt in your heart, God will move the mountain. I wonder, does anybody this afternoon have some mountains that you need God to move? Don't give up on your prayer. Don't let nobody else talk you out of your prayer. Don't you hate thank you. So the Lord was teaching them a principle. He said, now, in chapter 18, he said, now, there was an unjust judge. Now, there's an unjust judge. Why would God use this illustration to teach a principle to his saints? Because he's an unjust judge, but God is a just judge. Amen?
Yes.
You gonna stay with me?
Yes.
He's an unjust judge, but God is a just judge. And he said the unjust judge, he doesn't fear God and he doesn't even care about men. But the just judge cares about you. That's why he says, cast all your cares upon me because I care about. So he's bringing a contrast between an unjust judge and himself. And then the woman didn't stop praying. She kept coming to the judge. Yeah, you know, after a little while, the judge figured out, he said, you know what? He said, I don't care about God. I don't believe in God. My mind is not God conscious. He said, I don't even care about you people. I don't care about men. He said, but I gotta do something. Because this woman won't leave me alone. Every time I turn around, here she's back again saying, avenge me of my enemies. He said, though I don't fear man, fear God, and I don't care about men. He said, I'm gonna avenge this woman lest she weary me by her. Continue. Don't stop praying. It might not look like he's going to answer you, but don't you stop praying. He said, she's going to weary me by her continual coming. Now we're in prayer university, right? We're learning about prayer. So the Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. Because he's unjust. He said, but I am just. He said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? How many know if you're saved, you're the elect? If you're saved, you're chosen. It says, shall not God, the Lord judge, shall not the Lord avenge his own elect, which cry day and night, though he bear. So God might be bearing you, but don't you stop praying. Hallelujah. I heard the psalmist say, I pray in the morning. Lord, when I get up and things ain't all right, I pray in the morning. He said, I pray in the noonday and I pray at night. I believe he read about Daniel that prayed 3 times a day. Hallelujah. When you need something from God, you better learn how to pray. Can I get a praise the Lord? You need some deliverance, you got to learn how to pray. It ain't enough just to pray when you feel like it, but I set some time aside for God. I call him in the morning. I call him in the noonday, and I call him even at midnight, because my God is open unto the prayer of the righteous. So the Lord said, here, anybody want to hear what the unjust judge said? Shall not God avenge his own elect that cry day and night? But God will bear with you. He'll bear along with you. God heard you when you first called. Amen, he said, but nevertheless, the only reason I didn't answer you already, I want to see what kind of faith you got. I want to see, do you believe me to hell and high water? God, I want to see if you believe me when nobody is with you and you have to stand alone. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find some faith on the earth? God heard your prayer when you first called, but he didn't answer. Because he wanted to see where was your faith. Amen. I believe in Isaiah, I know it's in the 65th chapter, somewhere around the 23rd or 24th verse, he told the children of Israel, he said, before you called, I heard you. Even before you mustered up enough nerve to call me, he said, I heard you. He said, while you were speaking, I heard you. In other words, God knows what things you have need of before you ask. So he said, before you even call me, I'd already sent the answer. Amen. It wasn't in your time. But I already sent an answer. So don't you stop praying. I don't know how bleak, how dismal Amen. And I don't know what people have said, but can I hear somebody say, don't stop praying? Let's go to Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to add this in for just a little bit. Daniel chapter 10. And I think we'll start around verse 4. Amen. Because we need, as a church, we need to start giving up on our prayers. Because your prayer didn't come through when you thought it should come, don't you give up on prayer. The Lord said he was going to bear out with you long. What is he bear long? Because he wants to find out where your faith is. Amen. Daniel chapter 4, chapter 10, I'm sorry. And let's go to verse 4 of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 4. We're trying to, well, actually go to verse 10. We're going to skip the rest because it's dealing with a vision that Daniel had. And in the vision, Daniel is troubled because he sees something. So Daniel, in his confusion, goes to God in prayer. Amen? That brings us up to verse 10. All right? You can read from 1 down to 10 on your own. It says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hand. Now the hand was the angel Gabriel. The archangel touched him because Daniel was troubled over what he seen. Amen. Verse 11, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Didn't the scripture say, behold, beloved, now are we the sons of God? We are what? Greatly beloved. Amen. He said, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For to thee am I now sent. And when he has spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Hallelujah. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Anybody got some little trouble? He said, don't fear. Fear not, little flock. It's your father's good pleasure. When you get it from God, you don't have to worry about anything. It's always good pleasure. He said, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to speak to me. For the first day that you set your heart to understand through prayer and fasting what was taking place. He said, and to chasten thyself before thy God. He said, thy words from the what? First day. When you went to God, he heard it in the beginning. Amen. But thank God Daniel didn't stop praying. He didn't stop seeking God. And the next verse will reveal more of it. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of... Now this prince, even though it's a literal prince, the reference is to Satan. Will still be for... He said, but I heard your prayer with you. I knew what you asked for you. God was sending an answer with you. But it didn't come when you expected it, but 21 days later. Hallelujah. God is sending you the prayer. I heard somebody say Daniel didn't stop praying because Daniel was a praying man. Amen. So he went to God concerning the vision, and the devil, you know, how many know the devil is still a devil? He ain't gonna change. He was a devil for Job. Job didn't know what was happening behind the scene, but God was bragging on Job and the devil was trying to tear him down. God's been bragging on a whole lot of us, but the devil don't believe what God says, so you have all of this trouble that the devil is trying to sift you as wheat. But aren't you so glad that the Lord prayed that your faith would not fail? Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. The devil is still the devil. He said, I heard it 21 days ago. But Lord, this was a real fight. This was a real spiritual battle. Because the weapons of our warfare are not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness. What? In high. The devil is still the devil, and he'll do anything to hold back your blessing. But God said, just keep praying. Just keep praying. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to figure it out. The Lord told the man, I believe Jairus, He said, you know, all I want you to do is believe. The thing, our problem is we always trying to figure out what God has to do. When God said, just believe. You don't have to figure out how they're going to do it. Can somebody say, look at somebody and tell them, you need to just believe. Say it with some conviction. You need to just believe. God doesn't want you to figure out how he's going to do it. You just keep praying and keep believing. And God will work it out. Don't give up on your prayers. Amen. God is not a man. I heard the scripture say that he should lie, and neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If the Lord said it, shall he not do it? If he spoken, shall he not bring it to pass? Hallelujah. God is not a man. So the devil might be trying to hold back your blessing, but don't you stop praying. Amen. When you expected that there was going to be deliverance, you got a bad phone call. What did you do? Hallelujah. The diagnosis wasn't what I thought it was going to be. What did you do? Amen. They're messing with my finances. What did you do? They're messing with my children. What did you do? They threatened to take away the house and the car. What did you do? Did you stop praying or did you keep praying? Because known unto God all of his works from the beginning. When you first prayed, God said, I heard your prayer. But I was just waiting to see how you were going to really, if you really believed. Now, couldn't God have answered Daniel the first thing? Who's more powerful, God or the devil? Amen. Come on, y'all. Talk to me. Who's more powerful? God has more power than the devil. But it's a principle that we need to learn through prayer university. Just keep praying. Call on him day and night. Though he bear long with you, the scripture said he will avenge you of your adversary. And he's not going to take a long time to do it. He's going to do it how? Speedily. Well, what's the speed in his own time? But the problem in church is every time something don't go like we ought to think it go, we get mad at God and stop praying. We get mad at God and stop coming to church. Because the devil is whispering in our ears, I told you it was a waste of time. I told you I got more power than God.
Come on.
That's what the devil is telling you, just like he did Daniel. All right. He's withstanding against you. He's trying to stir you up to quit on God. But don't you stop praying. You got to keep believing God. And in praying and believing God, the scripture said, cast not away your confidence. Well, who do you have confidence in today? I'm saying that somebody said, well, the judge said this, the banker said this, the this one said that, and all these other things. Who is your confidence in? Why you quit praying if you got confidence in God? Cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Amen. The scripture said, for after you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And I heard Paul tell the church of Corinthians, all the promises of God in him. And I ain't talking about in you. We're not talking about the 1 Corinthians, no, 2 Corinthians 1:20. Read this in your time, all right? Look at somebody say, every promise. If it's in the book, come on, every promise. If it's in the book, it's for you. Every promise. He said, all the promises of God in him. Not in you, not in the judge, not in the lawyer, not in the banker, not in the husband, not in the wife, not in anybody else, but in him are yea and amen to the glory of God through us. All the promises of God. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you stop praying. Tell the devil he's a liar. Say, I've been running for Jesus a long time. Anybody been running for Jesus a long time? And I'm not tired yet. The Lord has taken my Jesus, a long time, glory, and I'm not tired yet. Yeah. He ain't like you. Amen. We're going to one more verse of scripture. We're going to go to one more verse of scripture. I got no minutes. I don't take five. I don't have none, but I don't take five. Go to Acts chapter 12. Amen. Acts chapter, I don't have a lot. I'm going to take this. Amen. Yes, prayer university. You know, a lot of people flunk out of school. You know how they flunk out of school? Because they don't prepare for their work. If you don't prepare, you flunk out. Amen? So God is preparing us for the challenges that are before us. But the problem is the church has quit too many times on God. Let's go to verse 4 of Acts chapter 12. Now this is one of those times of persecution. Verses 1 through 4 talks about how Herod had killed James, the brother of John, and he was attending after should be Passover, not Easter, because Easter has nothing to do with God. But he was attending after Passover. Somebody said, how do you say that? It's a whole lot. We can teach you on that. If you want to come to one of our, what's those classes we have? Current events. All right. Easter has nothing to do with God, but they were practicing Easter 2,000 years before Jesus was even born. Right, so think about that. Do some research. It's in there. Amen. But they were intending after Passover, as they had killed James, also killed Peter. Amen. So because they were intending to also kill Peter, verse 4 said, verse 3 said, when Herod saw that they pleased the Jews to kill James, he was intending after Passover to also kill Jesus. Not Jesus, but kill Peter. It said, when he had apprehended him, he put him in and delivered him to. You know, he said, you know what? I'm going to make your life of such, Peter. I'm going to put 16 soldiers around you. And who's that God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? So he put, how many soldiers? 16. Right. A quartillion is 4, so it was 4 times 4 is what? 16. To keep him, intending after should be passed over to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but somebody didn't stop praying. Amen. Somebody didn't stop praying. So what seemed like an impossible and hopeless situation, He not only did he have 16 soldiers with him, he was chained to two of them by both hands and by both feet. Look at somebody and say, what God? Yes, Lord, thank you. He said, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the what? Same night Peter was sleeping. Now he had 16 around him, and he was shackled to two. But they said prayer was made without ceasing. Yeah, I said, don't you stop praying. This is one of, right here, this is like when the Taliban or whoever ISIS got you, you might as well send your death notice to your family because there's no hope. But if Jesus be for you, I said if God be for you, I don't care about ISIS, I don't care about anything. If God be for you, who then can be against you? That's when he had all these soldiers. You know, he said, you know what? Peter, we're going to make your situation real bad. Amen. He said, but, and before that, let me go back up one more time. This is when you know God's on your side. Now, if that's about most of us, we wouldn't have been able to get no rest. But Peter was what? Amen. Because Peter knew who God was. Peter knew what God could do. And you know, and I just watched one of my fellow apostles get beheaded. That means the sword meant he was beheaded. You know what? You would have been up all night. Oh God, you promised. Peter just said, you know what? It's all in God's hands, so I'm going to do what? That's why Peter was able to write, cast all your cares upon him, because he. The problem with church is we talk a lot, but we don't live it. The problem with church, we talking, but you don't live it. Some said, What are you doing standing up all night worrying and eating the bread of sorrow when God giveth his dearly beloved? Right? So why are you up all night? I'm just saying. I ain't been to your house, but God is. You can't figure out what it's doing. You're up all night worrying about something that God has to do. He has given his dearly beloved rest. He gives you sleep. You don't have to stay up all night and eat the bread of sorrow. God is on your side. But I don't know how it's going to turn out. That's the best place to be in. Because it's impossible. But the things that are impossible with men are what? Possible with God. My situation is impossible. You need to keep on praying. You know God. So Peter was asleep. Now let's go to the next verse. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined into the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And I don't know what kind of chains you got on, but don't you stop praying. I don't know what kind of bondage you have, but don't you stop praying, because prayer was made without ceasing. Somebody said, "Now I'm chained. I can't get away from you." But with God, it's fighting your battle. When God is making a way out of no way, hallelujah, a man could do this. God couldn't send nobody else to do this. He said, man could not help, therefore my own arm brought forth salvation and my fury of hell. Why? Because of God. I'm going to get through this. I got to do a fast 5 minutes. All right, and so the chains fell off. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself." He's like, you know what? Shake yourself. I don't know what you've been. It's time to get out of that. Shake yourself. He said, "Gird thyself. Bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." But where were the enemies at? They were still asleep. Don't stop praying. Though impossible your situation may be, God knows how to send an angel to deliver you. God knows how to make a way out of no way. He said, and he went out and followed him. And with Peter said, I'm being obedient to the angel. I'm being obedient to the Spirit of God. He said, I don't understand. I can't even figure out what's going on. But he still was obedient and followed him. The problem is when we get confused, we stop following. We know God is leading us, but I'm confused. I don't understand it, so we stand still. It ain't time to stand still. It's time to keep following. Don't you give up on your prayers. Amen? And was not what was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a... And when they were past... God is fighting for me. All those people that's been against me, God just took me past that first group. Amen. So when he went past the first, and then after the what? The second war, they came into the iron gate that leadeth. You know, the iron gate, it took a lot of people to open the gates. Peter couldn't have done it by himself. Those gates were big back in those days. You couldn't do it by yourself. Look at somebody say, you can't do it by yourself. That's why you need God. So when they got to the iron gate, now if there would have been one of us, we would say, oh boy, I knew I shouldn't have left. Right? Because we have our hands in the plow, we keep looking. The Bible says, if you got your hands in the plow looking back, you're not fit for the kingdom. You don't have to ask, if God has brought you this far, I'm sure he's able to carry you on. So when he got to the gate of the city, which opened to them up, when they got to the gate, God was making a way. He said, now they had you bound in prison and I set you free. They had you locked up in the city, but I got you on my side. I'm on your side and I'm going to set you free. You don't have to do anything in this battle because the battle is not, but the battle is. Don't you stop praying. He got to the gate. the city of the city and then opened them on the court, and they went out and passed on through one street and fought with the angels. He said, you're free now. You don't need me anymore. Amen. Let's keep going. I just want to get to the prayer a little bit more. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a... You know, sometimes you need to look back at some of the things that God has done in our life. And it shouldn't have, we shouldn't have any doubt. We should know of a... He said, now I know for sure that the Lord has and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where there were many gathered together, and they were what? Prayer was made without? Amen. So Peter didn't even pray. He just went to sleep. But somebody else was what? The church was praying for Peter. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and the gambler came and hearkened, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And the people told her, you're mad. Next verse. I just want to get to this next verse so we can close out here. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him and were
astonished.
Well, what were they astonished? They were what? They were praying, but what was the problem? They didn't really believe the prayer. How many of us are praying, but we really don't believe the prayer? Because if they were praying without ceasing, had not stopped praying, when they saw Peter, we should say, God, answer prayer. But they didn't believe the prayer. So they were amazed, astonished, and shocked because God answered their prayer. Well, what's the answer? Don't stop praying, as we all said. I had to cut it short because the praise team messed me up. Nevertheless, don't you stop praying. Even though it might seem bleak, dismal, and all hope is lost, what is impossible with men is possible with God. But you can't stop praying. As the elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward, the one thing that I've learned and the one thing I've known for the years, when everything else fails, prayer certainly works. Amen. And the good thing about prayer is you don't need a partner to pray. Jesus said there are some situations you need to just go into your secret closet and let the Lord know about it. But then when you pray, let God handle it. Don't try to figure out what God is going to do. Don't stop praying. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't quit. And then when God does it, don't act surprised, say, I knew you were going to do it. Because at the end, the scripture said that the vision of God will come and will not tarry. But he shall speak, El Maki. Hallelujah.